Hello, loves. I'm your host, Christina Ray. I'm a life coach, breathwork facilitator, and entrepreneur with multiple conscious businesses. Through sharing my journey, I hope to inspire you and make life just a little bit easier for you to navigate. I believe through sharing and authenticity, we create space for others to feel safe, empowered to share, and to feel less alone. In this space, we talk about everything from realizations through spiritual awakenings to breakups to mindfulness. And I interview people from all over the world who are using their power for good so we can build all our power together. Let the journey begin. Hello, loves, and welcome back to the Power for Good podcast. Today, we are exploring the transformative journeys of empowered women from all corners of the world. Recently, I felt called to connect with empowered women who are on healing journeys, who have gone through spiritual awakenings, and who are ready to share their story with you and with me. I put out a call on Threads, and I got a response from hundreds of women, which is really exciting because that means that, number one, there's a lot of women out there doing the healing work who are empowered. And number two, that they're here to share their stories with you and with me. And one of those amazing women is here. Her name is Krista. So welcome, Krista, to the show.
Hi, Christina. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm excited to dive in and get in there with you.
So excited to have you here. Let me give you a little background on Krista. Krista Naristant is the owner of Selfish Lifestyle, where she serves as a spiritual medium and teacher, demystifying the world of spirit while navigating the mental and emotional landscape as a certified neuro-linguistic programming life coach and hypnotist, specializing in the Satir method of transformational systemic therapy. Her book, Indestructible, The Hidden Gifts of Trauma, spotlights the unbroken spirit of the woman survivor. Through the power of perspective, archetypes, courage, self-love, resilience, and more, Krista rose up and faced every obstacle to champion for the life she wanted, for herself and her family, and in the process, fell in love with the journey. Indestructible inspires, teaches, and represents survivors from all backgrounds and cultures so they too may heal and discover their very own hidden gifts of trauma.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that.
So excited to have you here. I want to jump into my first question that I actually ask everyone that comes on the show, which is, Krista, how are you using your power for good?
How am I using my power for good? Well, I share my resources. It's interesting, but this is really what I advocate for. And what I do is I wrote a book to share the resources for anyone. Again, just like the intro, for anyone with different backgrounds, right? I mean, not everyone is on the same playing field. You start where you are by accepting where you are and what resources are available to you at this very moment in your present time. I really do that through my speaking engagements, through my teachings, through my book, through my my media and all of that. So that's how I'm using my power for good, really to advocate and to amplify the power of spirit, of self-championing, self-love, self-care, right? And putting you first. You know, because putting you first, allowing you, my company is called Selfish, right? Like, be a little selfish and really embody that and not feel the guilt about doing so, because it's really important. How are you going to be able to understand how somebody else can treat you if you don't treat yourself first to that level, to that aspect?
And how do you define selfish?
Okay. So how do I define selfish is by understanding that you have to understand, how do you know yourself first? Getting to know yourself first. You have to know your mental body, I work with the four bodies, your mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual body, right? Everybody's different. What may work for Christina, what may work for Krista, ain't gonna work for somebody else, right? So that really allows you to hold yourself accountable, hold yourself with self-awareness and with self-respect. Right? Understanding how you work, understanding who you are, how you work mentally, how, you know, where you are in your state of being, right? That's selfish. That's understanding, you know, yourself first and foremost, and knowing yourself first and foremost. That's being selfish.
Self-centered approach to really everything, right?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and honoring your needs, honoring you, and it really is the opposite of, placating or pleasing, you know, and especially as women, you know, we are wired to immediately nurture, immediately care for others and overcompensate, you know. And yes, that could be upbringing, programming, societal programming. But I honestly believe as a feminine, as a woman, we're kind of wired to do so. I mean, I see it with my 8-year-old daughter. You know, my 8-year-old daughter already feels guilty about certain decisions she's making. And I'm going, what? How? Why? You're like, I don't even understand. Like, I'm working on that now. Like, I can't believe that she's dealing with this at 8 years old, you know? And so that's kind of when I realized, oh my God, this is instinctual. Like, this is instinct as a female, as a woman, you know, in this body, we are wired to be so attuned to our emotional body and the emotions that comes with it.
Yeah. And I think being selfish kind of gets a bad rep. There's a stigma around being selfish, right?
Yeah.
Because as you said, as women, we're sort of meant to be selfless, to be always helping others, to be nurturing. But
yeah.
In reality, even to help other people, it really starts with helping yourself, as you said. So you have to be a little selfish at the first step of really doing any kind of work in the healing work, particularly.
Be selfish to get to selflessness, right? Like really, like for you to be even, you know, how many times have you heard these experiences and we're like, I do so much for you. And I, you know, sadly, that's like a lot of like caretaker roles. I do so much, you know, and it's like, but nobody asks you.
And I'm not appreciated. Yeah, you don't appreciate me.
Yeah, it's appreciated. Expectations are for real, right? The expectations, the disappointments. And as a coach, you know, even as a spiritualist, and when I do a lot of work that leads to the spiritual body and the emotional body, it always turns to, oh my gosh, like, what's coming up for you? Like, where is that coming from? Which part of you is being, you know, being ignored, and which part of you it feels underappreciated and feels disappointed? Right? And you'd be very surprised. It's not the present person. It's not the present time.
Yeah,
it's, you know, you when you were like 12. 14, you know,
inner child.
Yeah. So,
well, that leads me to my next question, which is I want to go back in time a little bit with you to your early experiences. Can you share a little bit about your background, upbringing, how this influenced your path to healing and to where you are now, to creating this book, to your journey?
Yeah. So, I came out of a spiritual closet around 32 years old, about 10 years ago. I've always had experiences with the supernatural world. I'm a spiritual medium, so I have the ability to communicate with spirit, with people who have passed. And I've had this since I was a child, but obviously no, I'm not crazy. I'm a type A. I had a business. I had a salon for over 15 years, but I realized that it wasn't going away. And so I decided I have to take control of this. Being Filipino, I was born and raised in the Philippines, super Catholic background. So the upbringing was very severe in the religious dogma and religious boxes that was entailed. And I had to relearn myself, get selfish, right? And had to relearn and honor my upbringing, honor my, you know, my traditions, but with understanding of how do I honor myself too at the same time and not just give it all to how I was raised by others, you know, by adults that was around me. And through this process of relearning who I am, owning who I am, being authentic of who I am, I went on the journey of like, oh my gosh, I have to share these resources to others who may be going through the same, you know, type of journey. You know, the book was written not so that it could be prescriptive, but for just a resource that, hey, this is how I was able to get through certain moments, certain traumas, and it works for you, great. If it doesn't, that's okay, right? Like, totally okay. That's how my journey was. And then now I am not, I'm obviously not a stranger to traumas. Like, challenges is how I work, and I really own that. I really advocate for that. I feel like challenges in life lead you to growth.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go through challenges. You have to go through certain hardships to allow yourself to explore how far you can grow and overcome. So yeah, that's what I advocate for.
And what are some of the biggest challenges that you went through that really inspired your growth?
My mom, when we moved out here, I immigrated from the Philippines when I was 12. But prior to that, my mom had already left her 5 kids. I was second oldest. So I lost my mom felt abandoned by my mom, like at 7 years old. And we didn't get to see her for over 5 years. My father was very abusive. So I had a lot of mother wounds as well as father issues, like daddy issues, right? Because it was such a complex dynamic because I was actually the favorite. I was favorite by my dad out of the 5 siblings. And so in turn, my siblings hated me, like growing up. And then we had to immigrate to the States. It was like in the middle of the night. We were basically kidnapped. We had no idea. We were just woken up in the middle of the night and said, pack your bags, we're leaving.
Wow.
And then 2 weeks later, we were in the States. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a very interesting story. There's a book, Christina.
All right. I'm going to tune into the book. Read the book, y'all.
Which hopefully will be a movie.
Screenplay coming soon.
Yeah. So, and then only 3 years later, for my mom passing away, leaving us as orphans. And then I took custody of my siblings at 21.
Wow.
Because, yeah. So from there forth, talk about survival mode, talk about overcoming challenges, talk about just bulldozing through life because I had no choice. You know, even as young as 15, 16, I had to find ways to support my siblings and I. And to also honor my need to succeed, honor my need to be financially independent, honor my needs to be who I am, you know. And I was able to do so with, you know, in hindsight, I've always been faithful. I've always loved God and always been spiritually attuned, connected. So I've always gone back to the understanding of spirit, always coming back to spirit. Although this is a human experience that is challenging. You can always come back to your faith. You can always come back to the resilience of the power of your own human spirit in connection to God. Yeah. Whatever God or whatever religion or whatever background you're in, it doesn't matter. There's a belief of beyond you.
What was the moment that you decided, or was there a moment for you that was like a spiritual awakening or realization that shifted your perspective on everything?
So many, you know, and this is what I tell everyone. Everyone is like, that's like, oh, what's spiritual? No, honey, like life is a spiral. You're going to keep continuing to have a spiritual awakening. So many. I had a spiritual awakening, when I had gone through, in addition to my childhood as an adult, I had suffered 3 ectopic pregnancies. I had severe case of endometriosis. By the time I was 28 years old, I had lost my fallopian tubes and my ability to naturally conceive. And here I am, right? I'm financially successful. I'm independent. I'm married to a wonderful husband, a great relationship, and boom, you know, like this ability to the woman's right to bear her children, right? Like that's our gift. Is to bear children. And that was taken away from me. And I was super angry, super angry, super angry. God, it cursed God out. I was like, watch me, you know, and watch me, you gotta stop me. Like that's a normal response, right? You know, especially for somebody who's a type A, who's bulldozed through life.
And, of course.
But it was, you know, in hindsight, after all that, you know, the 7 stages of grief were, you know, I recognized that, holy shit, I need to get my shit together. I really need to start healing, not only just in a physical level, but an emotional level, mental level, physical level. It's all coincides. It all matters, right? And this is why I'm such an advocate of like healing the 4 bodies, of really being attuned to your 4 bodies, because your physical body is just a response to the other bodies that is working with you. Yeah. Something's not aligned. And that's what it was. And so that was another spiritual awakening that led me to discover yoga, that led me to really get in the understanding of healing in an internal level. And it led me here. And a year later, I had my miracle baby, which is my daughter.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. She was only 7%. Yeah. She was a 7% chance.
Wow. Yeah.
So this is why, you know, I am such an advocate for the work that I do, you know, coming home to you, coming home to your faith, coming home to your faith, not only in a higher power, but yourself, having faith in yourself, your power to heal, your power to overcome the stresses that is daily given to you. Faith in yourself and faith in understanding that you do have a team that works with you. It just takes a lot of accountability. It takes a lot of responsibility and it takes a lot of awareness. But it might be the longer route, but it's the most sustainable route. Does that make sense? It's the most sustainable route.
Yeah. So break down for me the process of working with the four bodies. What does that mean exactly? And how did you get to that? Or how did that look in your life?
When that ability was taken away from me, like, you know, having a child, you know, naturally, that was a physical aspect. Endometriosis, my neck locked up, my arms wouldn't move, like I couldn't work. And so I realized that, and I had gone through doctors, Western doctors, I've done MRIs, x-rays, and all of this. And the only thing that were able to provide for me was that you can just do pain management. I was 30 years old. Pain management? I was 30 years old. Like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
And the last resort was epidural shots to my neck once a week. And I would be laid out for 24 hours in addition. So I was just like, oh, wow, that's crazy, right? And doctors were like, did you have a heart impact? Do you have a traumatic physical impact, like a car accident, you know, that caused this? There was none, right? So when I started doing a lot of holistic work, which really uncovered, you know, I started learning about the spiritual body or chakra system, understanding the spiritual aspect of yourself. And I started to blend both modalities, Western as well as Eastern modalities, therapy, talk therapy. So my physical body was just basically saying, hey, we need fucking attention. We need help, right? And you're just bulldozing through life and I can't take the hits any longer. So that's the concept of Eastern holistic modalities, is that the physical form, your vessel, is this amazing, intelligent vessel. It literally will just, if it's inflamed, it'll let you know, right? Some way, somehow. And it's not so that you can, you know, rush through it, but it's like attention. Hey, we need attention, right? The neck, it's about your throat. It's about clearing. It's about, you know, it's about your throat chakra. Right? It's about the shoulders, right? It's about carrying all the burdens of your past and all the stuff that you've been through, right? Your ankles, your knees, you know, like your arms, right? Like they all pertain to a certain feeling or a certain sensation that you might not be accessing or aware of. So I really made myself vulnerable to accept this and to kind of explore this modality, and it helped me a whole lot. And so now, you know, that's what I do. I'm very big on allowing others to really explore this idea of like, hey, we are four bodies. You have your mental body. Your mental body's only job is to now I'm going to sessions, right? But like your mental body's, you know, job is only to create safety, right? It's to problem solve. But sometimes it doesn't know, if we're not being objective about it and we're on fight or flight or on survival mode, it's just trying to survive no matter what, whether it's healthy for the entire ecosystem, physical, mental, you know, emotional, spiritual, it just wants to survive, right? But then we get to a certain point of our lives, you know, i.e., you know, as an adult, you know, when you have your prefrontal cortex fully developed at 26 years old, you are then able to be exploring, okay, how do we then create better neural pathways to overcome and to survive so that we're no longer in survival mode and our physical body just doesn't take the hits? Or how do we allow ourselves the practice of non-attachment so our emotional body will actually gain intelligence rather than just reactionary results when we're reacting to our emotions rather than exploring the emotions? Because, you know, that anger is deeper than just that initial reaction. That first reaction is deeper than that. So that requires attention, that requires awareness, that requires responsibility. And how you get that is through work, through talk therapy, through coaching, through journaling, through exploring. But it's really about being vulnerable enough to allow yourself this, you know, these moments of shadow work, what we call it shadow work or mirror work. You know, it's really shining a light to the shadows, to the dark parts of you, but not judging them, not criticizing those parts of you. Ain't nobody perfect. Like, you know, everybody has skeletons in their closet. And the moment that you accept that, and the moment you're able to love that about yourself, the more you're going to be so much happier and so much more attuned and so much more aligned.
Thank you for that description of the four bodies and the practices and the work that you've done. Yeah. I think it's all very important.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd be very, very curious as to sometimes when people would speak, and if you kind of just sit back or something and just kind of like attune to their energy and attune to like, oh, which part of our body is speaking?
Mm.
Oh, right. I have so many times.
Yeah. From where is it coming?
Mm-hmm. Where is it coming from? Which part? And it's so, and that's one of the resources that I give to everyone is like, ask these questions. Which part of me is speaking? Where is it coming from? How do I move forward with mind, body, soul intact?
Mm-hmm.
Right. These are questions that we need to have in our back pocket so that when decisions need to be made, that we may be kind of, you know, reactionary, it takes time to step back and kind of feel those out, right? Which part of me is speaking? Yeah. My ego, is it my higher self? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, even the inner child, like which little part or which child inside of me is speaking as well?
Yeah.
There's so many different parts of us, right?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But I've never really thought about it in the sense of like, which part of my body is speaking? Like, is it my mental body or my emotional, my physical? That's a really interesting perspective as well. I like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. Because then let's just say, for example, for the sake of this conversation, we could be like, oh, it's definitely my mental body. And I was like, well, is that aiding you? Is that bringing you closer to your goal? Or is that bringing you peace? Is that bringing you harmony? And it's like, no. Okay. So which other parts of your body needs to rise so that we can achieve that? It's not about deflecting, right? It's not about negating. We need our mental body to survive. Hello, like you're in this body. We need it.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's no spiritual bypassing here, right? But it's about allowing all parts of you to work together rather than fighting with each other, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there's many times where I'm like, I don't want to do it. I'm in my emotional body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I need my mental body to, you know, to motivate me in a level of encouragement. So this is what I mean. It's really allowing all these four different parts of you to work as one.
And even when you're in the emotional body, you can ask to even go deeper. Because I know like when you're speaking, you can also say, am I speaking? And I don't know if this is from the emotional body, but like, are you speaking from love? Are you speaking from fear?
Ah, for sure. For sure.
And then you go even a step further, which I've asked myself before, you know, where did that come from? Was that actually from fear? Or was that actually from genuine love? You know, and that's where we got into to the questions of attachment as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and fear is, you know, and I, you know, we're not going to sit here and also pretend like fear doesn't exist. Like, fear exists, you know? It's a matter, but we have to understand fear. We have to, the only reason why fear arises and comes forward is because it is the unknown.
Yeah,
it's something that we are not privy to. The moment that we explore that fear, and the moment that we understand that that said fear, it's like, oh, I'm no longer scared of it. But you have to actually do so. You have to jump in, and then make the decision from there.
Jump in, knowing that you're not going to know, and then that's okay. Accept it, right?
Yeah, I mean, or for my sake, my fear was, you know, when I came out of the spiritual closet, is, you know, my fear of like, oh my God, is it demonic? Is it like, oh my God, like, you know, the fear of defying my religion, the fear of, you know, defying my family, right? Like that was very palpable. And I had to really honor my needs as a daughter, as a family member, as a Catholic, but also honoring my needs as a spiritualist. And I had to really go down that the whole of like exploring where do I fit in? Because the realm of spirituality is massive also. You have, there's so many, many nooks and crannies of the spiritual world and the spiritual realm that you can tap into, right? The occult.
How did you get the courage to step out of the spiritual closet? Because you had all of these fears and worries and, you know, your family and concerns, obviously. So what would you say to someone perhaps that is at that place in their life where they're like doubting themselves, questioning, do I even have these gifts? Is it real? You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of stigma around that for sure. So how did you get the courage to step into that, to your authentic self?
I mean, it was such a personal journey for me because again, it was affecting my physical body. It was affecting, maybe it's a psychosis. Like, you know how they said, like it's a certain physical ailments is a psychosis. You know, I couldn't physically work. It was messing up my financial status, my financial independence, which I identified with that, you know, for 30 freaking years. I'm this independent woman who ran a business, who ran a company, and that was that. But it was almost kind of like, hey, spirit, you know, in hindsight, you know, now that I'm constant communication with my team, you know, it was like, hey, we took care of you. We worked together and we got you everything you'd want in a human sense and in a material sense. Now you got to take care of you. Now you got to take care of us. You got to take care of your gifts. Mm. And so I had to honor that. I had to do a lot of fetal positions in a corner and and really like,
yeah,
and going through it, like not pretending that it was easy. Like, you know, you've seen those memes. What everybody thinks spiritual awakening is like, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're going through the gardens. It's fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's a lot of upheaval. It's a lot of peeling layers, but you have to go through it, you know? So if I have any advice for anyone, it's take your alone time, it's sacred time. I kind of moved away from the world. I mean, obviously other than my husband and like very close knit family. You will lose people.
Yes.
Because they are no longer in your vibrational frequency. And you have to understand that. You will learn a lot about frequencies and vibration and understanding your own power and your auric field. And you have to be okay with that. You have to detach from the ego. You have to start recognizing that the materialism, the materialistic stuff that you identified yourself with, there's so much more. So much more.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to honor the peeling parts, the shadow work, those aspects. And then you get to go and go through the fields of...
Eventually, once you get through the burning house, you burn it all down. Some flowers spring up.
Yeah.
You get to enjoy that too. Yes, eventually. There's some sun at the end of the dark tunnel.
But you have to go through... Yeah, but you have to go through your tower moments, right? The tower moments in tarot. It's where everything is... broken down, fire, disheveled, everything. But, you know, it's perspective, right? How do we perceive those moments in a way that allows us to get a chance to rebuild? For you to grow, we have to let go of our old selves for us to move forward and grow forward. We can't keep carrying that shit no more.
You stepped out of the spiritual closet and now you are able to share all your gifts and you work as well with this gift of mediumship. So can you tell me a bit more about that? So how does that look for you? You connect with, you said, spirits of people that have passed.
Yeah, people who have passed. I was, the experiences I had growing up as a child, you know, at first I was like, what is that? And as young as 8 years old, and I would go to my family members. I was like, who, you know, what's happening? Who is that? I'm seeing this and that. And that. And they would just say, go to church, pray it away. Right. And so, but as I got older, it got more severe, like the experiences. At first, when I was a child, I was able to see them. And then as I got older, they were able to see me. And then even more then, it's like then they were able to see me. And then now they were trying to communicate with me. But I was so much in fear that I was like, I couldn't understand anything. Again, after understanding this world and understanding the faculties and the modality of this and the mechanics of being a medium, I realized that, you know, it was just the spirit realm seeing me and knowing I'm a medium. So the way mediumship work is it's the realms. There's many realms. And it's just literally a frequency. Right. So it's just like radio stations. If I want hip hop, I put this station on. If I want classic station, I put this station on. So it's a matter of how do I then shift my frequency so that I can align to that realm. Some people are more open than others, and that's me. Right. That's what mediums are. We have the easy connection and the easy ability to connect to that spirit realm. Does it mean not everybody is a medium? You can certainly be trained for it. Everybody's psychic. Nobody's special. Everybody's psychic. Everybody has these gifts. But mediumistic, the difference between a medium and a psychic is a psychic can read your auric field. Everybody can do that, right? Like the feeling, like when you meet somebody, it's like, ooh, what is that, right? The experiences of like clear thoughts, like you're driving, you're getting dropped in ideas and thoughts that you're like, where did that come from? But you got it, right? Hearing a name, then they call. You know, all these, seeing birds, like, you know, psychic ability is for everyone to have. Mediumistic abilities, though, however, they have to be trained. You have to be trained for it a little bit. I'm what you would call a natural born medium. But some people who are natural born mediums may have triggered later on in their life. Meaning, like, I know mediums that didn't even entertain their gifts until they were like in their 40s or in their 50s, right? And after years of maybe working at a medical field or in a, like, I know so many like hospice nurses or, you know, oncology nurses that are suddenly like, I see dead people. I mean, can't help it. You're in a fucking hospital. All right. So I have a different, you know, like it's literally that, like I see dead people, but you know, it's about honoring and understanding that the soul indeed does not die. It's the physical form that dies, but we just move to another realm.
Right.
And so, I do it for love. I do it for healing. I work with others so that they can understand and know and accept that, you know, grandma, mom, dad, sibling, whoever, they're never really just thought or a sensation or an idea away from you, right? They're there. It's a matter of tapping in and tuning in. And I'm just that medium, hence the medium. And spirit, you know, they don't see Christina with a black shirt and the hair and stuff like that. They don't see Krista as, you know, the physical self. They see your auric field, the light. And that's how it is. It's like, oh, yeah, she's open. Oh, I'm going to go tap in. But it's also a matter of taking responsibility and awareness as a medium that I open myself and I shut myself. A lot of people have this misconception. She's, oh, you're just walking around and everybody just talks to you. Like, no, I'd go crazy. Like, so a lot of times people are like, who's behind me? Or who's here with me? And it's like, it doesn't work that way. I mean, you know, it just doesn't work that way. But that's called Hollywood and, you know, TV and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So my last question here is having to do with your book. The last line where you're really just describing the book of discovering the hidden gifts of trauma. What do you mean by the hidden gifts of trauma?
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to really just be like, yeah, accept your trauma, love your trauma, and then find a gift with it, right? And I really wanted to be bold in that sense. I'm really big on, you know, getting rid of the victimhood mentality. And let's call it as it is. You know, I'm a straight shooter. I'm a Sag, so, you know, blunt as F. but we're not going to sugarcoat things, right? I'm a tough love coach. Of course we care with love, you know, in the sense of like, we're not going to coddle. Like certain traumas are heavy. You know, the traumas that I went through, it's not for the weak. And I got to say, it's not for the weak. And so instead of trying to sugarcoat it or trying to lighten it, I decided to accept it full on. Death, you know, abuse, mental, physical, emotional abuse, right? Sexual abuse and societal abuse, you know, all of that. We just need to, the first part of healing is acceptance. The first part to any journey, spiritual awakening, any journey is acceptance. And so once we do that, once we accept the traumas, once we accept the challenges and the boulders or the mountains you're trying to achieve, once you move through that, that gifts will then be given. Okay? Like that's why it's called the hidden gifts of trauma.
Yeah.
Accept the trauma, move through the trauma, receive the gifts from the trauma. You see, right? It's a journey. Accept the trauma, move through the trauma, receive the gifts that said experience has given you.
Yeah. I truly believe that people that have been through trauma and challenges, big challenges, I mean, that's why I started this segment too, is to connect with people like you and that are powerful, you know. And I think that some of us that have been through these big challenges are some of the most inspiring and powerful people who end up doing the most amazing things, right? Because we turn that pain into our power.
Yeah. Yeah. And always be in your power. You know, again, I love your podcast name, right? Your title, you know, but power is really important because it's always about taking your power back, right? And the most important thing too in any experience is like, where's your power at? Are you giving away your power or are you moving with your power? Another question to always have in your belt is like, where's my power? Is my power, am I giving away my power or am I in my power? Or am I working with my power? Or am I depleting it and expanding it and releasing it and giving it away? Take your power back. Take your power back.
So where can listeners connect with you, Krista?
You can find me at self-ishlifestyle.com. That's self-ish. lifestyle.com, on Instagram, self_ish lifestyle approach, Facebook, media, website.
And your book is online for sale through your website?
Yes, on my website, on Amazon, Indestructible, The Hidden Gifts of Trauma. And it's for sale where books are sold.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Thank you so much. And
thank you so much for having me.
Thanks everyone for tuning in.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been such an amazing, inspiring talk. You're truly a powerful, gifted woman and so grateful that you're here to share a little bit of that power with us today.
Thank you. And always be in your power, my peeps. Always.
Keep your power. Share your power. Keep inspiring. Keep shining. Thanks everyone for tuning in with us. And if you're an empowered woman who wants to share your story on the Power for Good podcast, DM me as well on Instagram. I will be putting all of Krista's links in the show notes as well, so you can slide into her DMs, connect with her as well. And thank you again, Krista, for joining us today and sharing your beautiful story, empowerment.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.